Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5. You won't find it after Revelation, I'll guarantee you that much. If you don't get Revelation this morning, it's because you simply turned your mind off and your heart. And you don't want to listen to what I'm saying because it doesn't agree with your philosophy. But that doesn't matter. What we need to see happen, and what the church must see happen if we're going to do what God has called us to do, is to get over the past. Because you can have all the breakthrough services you want until there's really a breakthrough, you'll keep having try to have breakthrough services. And I wonder sometimes if people realize what the word breakthrough means. And so we come to a place where this morning we're going to teach you something. And it's really up to you what you do with it. I'm responsible to you. I'm not responsible for what you do with it. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse number 19, "So David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand.' So David went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there and said, 'The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water.' Therefore he called the name of the place Baal Perazim." If you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 14, pretty much the same story, but a little different indication in it. Verse number 10. Verse number 9 talks about the Philistines went and made a raid on the valley of Rephidim. "And David inquired the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?' And the Lord said to him, 'Go up, for I will deliver them into your hand.' So they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And David said," now listen to this, it's a little different, "'God has broken through mine enemies by my hand.'" God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. Therefore they named the place Baal Perazim. When we're talking about breakthrough, and we'll be going to Isaiah 58 and we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, but when you're talking about breakthrough, you're talking about God breaking through something in you or something that's obstructing you. You're talking about, and the word peretz, which actually means breakthrough, is breaking in, breaking forth, breaking out. Having a breach. How many know what a breach is? How many have had a breach in your dam that you put up to stop the water? It means the water goes through. And so we're coming to a place when we're talking about breakthrough, there's something within us that God needs to break through because God is already in us as believers. How many believe that? Amen. And so God comes and we have an encounter, we have a visitation where God absolutely, because we allowed him, say this with me, I must allow God to have a breakthrough in my life if it's ever going to happen. So that means I have to be willing to have a God encounter and allow him to do something in my life of that which is a wall, that which is a dam that's stopping me from being who he wants me to be and what he wants me to do. So the bottom line isn't waiting for God to do a breakthrough. The bottom line is coming to a place where God can do the breakthrough. and will do the breakthrough because we have chosen to let him. There's just scripture after scripture after scripture. As I spent 3 or 4 days on this and some time on the floor with God, because we need that. Because we don't understand something. Until the people who make up the Church of Christ have a breakthrough, the community will never have one.
That's right.
Just won't happen. Until we come to a place that we're not tolerating anything in our lives that God calls sin, and we're laying it down and opening them up to God, we'll go on like this for years and years and years, and we'll have the same problems. We'll have the same problems coming up. We'll have the same thoughts. We'll have the same attitude. Things will never change. Because God has placed within you the opportunity and the privilege to have a breakthrough because we are desperate for him. And he comes to do it. Now, I believe there's a couple things that's desperately needed here and in our community. And what we need are personal breakthroughs, and then we need community breakthroughs. I believe once a church has a breakthrough, the body of Christ, and I'm not talking about a building or a denomination, the community will experience that breakthrough from God. And I believe services like this morning are a catalyst to what we want to do and what we will allow God to do. Now, I understand that when we get down to the bottom line, it's more comfortable to live comfortable. I understand that you may go out of here and you're listening to someone else or hearing someone else and you're saying, well, I don't believe that. But I'm going to tell you that every church in the book of Revelation, God wanted to have a breakthrough in. And these are not Paul's words, these are Jesus' words to the church. Every one. And I went through them and I read every story of them. And in every one of them, it started with repentance, except Philadelphia and Smyrna. It comes to a place where we are going to take the words of God, understand them, and come through a breakthrough. Personal breakthrough. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 and verse 20, and they said, when is the kingdom of God going to come? And Jesus said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. Now here's the deal. You can have a personal breakthrough anytime you choose. I love the way you're shouting. It's your choice, it's not God's. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired of something, you're going to take some action. Amen? You're going to come to a place where all you want is an encounter with God. I don't care how it happens. I don't care when it happens. But I'm going to put my life into God's hands and say, God, I'm not doing this, a little bit like Barb was saying. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not living this way anymore. I'm not walking this life out anymore. I want you, and I want you to break through because you're already in me. I want you to break through my heart, and I'm not putting up with this junk anymore.
Amen.
And when we get sick and tired of allowing the devil to beat us up, to lead us down a wrong path, to lie to us, to put disease on us, to do things that we just even don't want to even think about, God is going to come on the scene because he's already there and we are desperate enough to say enough is enough. That's true. That's true. I was thinking about it. I'm just going to read some stuff to you. You don't have to listen if you don't want. It's time to break through anything that controls your mind that isn't from God. Thank you, all two of you. It's time to break through anything that's controlling you. And let's just look at some things. That hinders or disrupts God from being Lord of your life. Causing you to focus or concentrate and leading you away from God. Fear, anxiety, worry. We can all say amen to that, can't we?
Amen.
Now, what about the rest of these? Anger, hatred, bitterness, habits, greed, hopelessness, depression. Get them out. Break through. Don't listen to the devil. You know, I heard somebody say the other day that, boy, the Christian should never be sin conscious. People forget that the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts of sin. I don't want you conscious of past sins. That's gone. But be aware of where Satan's trying to lead you and break through it. And so again, Jesus said, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Do you know something? When did he come? After the crucifixion. After the resurrection. God, and I thank him for it every day, that he makes me aware of things I do wrong. People think that don't matter. Of course it matters. Otherwise he wouldn't send the Holy Spirit to convict us and make us aware. And so we come to a place where we're breaking through everything. Now, how many of you believe fear, anxiety, worry, sin, sickness, selfishness, hatred, anger? How many believe that's from God? How many know it's not from God?
Amen.
It's not from God. It's not there. And almost everything, listen to me, almost everything that we talk about when it comes to breakthrough is absolute nothing that God's doing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Not God doing it. But every time we allow something from the devil to reign within our hearts, it builds a stronghold. And it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Keep in mind, Paul's writing to Christians. He's writing to a church. You have the power within you through the Holy Spirit to tear everything out that Satan's trying to do in your life. How many recognize that? How many refuse to look at it? How many just said, no, I ain't doing that? Here's what Paul says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, let me ask you a question. If you see a stronghold in somebody else's life, what do you want to do to it? Just pat them on the back and say, God bless you? How many of you have ever recognized a stronghold in your life? What do we do with it? We ignore it? Not if you're smart. casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Can we at all be thankful that God has given us the power to tear things out of our lives? Can we be thankful that when Satan comes in like a flood, the Holy Ghost is going to lift up a standard against him? Can we be thankful that the Bible tells us in Isaiah 58, then your light shall break forth like the noonday? God has come to set you so free that you never again be entangled with the yoke of bondage. How many of any time in your life been in bondage? How many realize you never know the bondage you were in until you experience freedom? And Christ has come to set us free. Christ has come to lift us up so that he's the master. Yes. Belperazim means the master of the breakthrough or the God of the breakthrough. And let's consider for a moment the people that God used in amazing ways. How many of you would ever hired a murderer to take care of your people? Come on.
That's right.
How many of you would ever said, man, you're just the man I'm looking for. You've murdered somebody, and I want you to watch over my family. God did that.
Right.
With Moses, but before he did it, he gave Moses a breakthrough. Burning bush? How about Joshua? Joshua was a cohort of the murderer. Joshua went where Moses went, even to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. But one day God appears to Joshua and says, as if he didn't know, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise or go to a new level. Because I'm taking you and every place your feet walk is mine. I'm giving to you. And then another time, just before Jericho in Joshua chapter 5, the commander of the Lord's army, I'm sure it was Jesus, came to visit with Joshua. And Joshua looks at him and said, are you on our side or are you on the enemy's side? Now don't miss this. And the commander of the Lord's army said, no. You see, God's not on your side. You're on his side. Hear me?
Yes, sir.
God's not on your side. We're on his side. And there's a big difference. God gave the victory to Joshua because Joshua understood. What about David? Talked about him last week. The lion, the bear, and the giant. Why should he be afraid of King Saul? He had three that could have killed him, but didn't. Breakthrough. How about Saul? Not King Saul, Saul. You may know him as Paul, don't get confused. Saul. And I believe Saul's breakthrough started, and you can look at it, even though he was still trying to kill Christians, when he held the coat of the people that stoned Stephen. When they're throwing stones at him, and Stephen says, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. And he being stoned. It had to have some effect on this hardened guy who was determined to wipe out every Christian he could. And then he has a Damascus Road experience, and his life is changed. His life is changed. So what about us? Let me ask you a simple question. Has the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit, has it had the freedom to do that in your life? There are many Christians serving God because they don't want to go to hell. That's not what God's plan is. God's plan is that we have an encounter with Him that radically changes our worldly view, our mindset. And we're living and walking this life out in the peace and the joy and the glory and the victory and no bondage. You say, well, is that possible? Of course it's possible. That's what Jesus was trying to tell the Jews in John chapter 8. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed, and you will be know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's a problem in some countries. People add Jesus onto their other gods. And they don't experience the freedom, the breakthrough, the energy, the peace, and the joy, and the love that God brings. That's why God tells the church at Laodicea, I want to put eye salve on your eyes so you can see the reality of really what's happening and who I am. I want you to see. I encourage you to buy the gold of the glory of God so that you know me. The reality of it all is that God made freedom absolutely available. And because we don't get where He wants us to be, we start looking at other things that look like options. And these options will keep you from reaching where God wants you to be. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And God is saying, I want you free. I want you free. I want the breakthrough. You don't have to live in worry. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in anxiety. You don't have to live with past anger. You don't have to live with broken relationships. It's not what it's about. It's absolutely about God having the privilege of breaking through our lives where we walk in freedom. And then, taking that freedom, that breakthrough, to a community that's dying in sin. I believe one of the reasons that evangelism and other methods are being shut down from the churches is because we're too focused on ourselves. What are my needs? What do I want? God, what are you going to do for me? And God says, come to me. I'll break through you so you can break through in that community. And that's what he wants to do. What's in this for me? What's in this for you? Everything that God has at his disposal. All of it. How many have read that you're a joint heir with Christ? Do you think the Father's ever going to die? Is the Holy Spirit going to die? Is Jesus going to die again? So we've got that right now. You don't have to live on the verge of spiritual poverty or any other kind of poverty. It's ours. Now. To enjoy. To experience. To give away.
Yes, amen.
Hey, how many are givers?
Amen.
How many just excited about giving?
Amen.
It's ours to give. It's not about hoarding. It's about having our eyes open. We see what's happening out here. It's about walking it out in the Spirit of God. It's about reaching out a hand because we've been set free. We have a breakthrough. We are doing the things that God has called on us and empowered us and energized us to do. And you know what? He causes everything to bud. He causes the fruit to grow. He puts it all together in his package for his kingdom. And it happens. It just simply happens. And that's where God wants this body to be. Every time we walk in here, we want to see somebody else have a breakthrough.